Celebrate Cable is holding a kickoff party at Hopworks Southeast Powell location on Tuesday, May 5th from 7 to 11 p.m. The whole family is welcome. Cable will broadcast live from Hopworks, bringing you the Melting Pot and DJ Anjali and the Kid live from the brewery. Hopworks is located at 2944 Southeast Powell Boulevard in Portland, and everyone is invited to attend. You can meet other fellow Cable listeners and consider having some food and drink. That's the Cable Hopworks Community Tap Kickoff, featuring the Melting Pot and Anjali live Tuesday, May 5th at 7 p.m. For more info, go to kboo.fm/hub.
And you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 10:59. Coming up next on Stage and Studio, host Sarika Mehta introduces Theater Diaspora, the first Asian American Pacific Islander theater company in Portland. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, Joseph Gallivan interviews Bonnie Lang Malcolmson, the curator of Northwest Art at the Portland Art Museum, and about Betty LaDuke's show in the Apex section of the Pacific Northwest Collection. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Grendel's, a neighborhood coffee house offering organic coffee, sandwiches for breakfast and lunch, and Wi-Fi. Proud to support KBOO, Grendel's is open every day at East Burnside and 8th. Information at 503-595-9550 or facebook.com/Grendel's Coffee House.
I'm Sarika Mehta, sitting in for Dime Roberts, and this is Stage and Studio. Welcome to Asian Pacific American Heritage Month. Today we're talking about Theater Diaspora, the first ever Asian American Pacific Islander theater company in Portland. Theater Diaspora is a project of Media Rights Productions, which promotes multicultural productions in radio, theater, and outreach. And as it is, I myself was a media rights intern once upon a time, so I am thrilled to feature this project. Right now, the Theater Diaspora play Breaking Glass is doing stage readings, which will be running on May 9th at 2 p.m. at the Artist Repertory Theater, and again May 17th, also at 2 p.m. at Portland Center Stage. Tickets are $5 or $10, depending on your level of support. But we are doing a ticket giveaway for the first person who emails theaterdiaspora@gmail.com, and you can get yourself a pair of free tickets. So we have a party in studio today. We have a full house of Theater Diaspora Company folks on the mics. But before I introduce everyone, we have executive producer and playwright and host of this show, Dime Roberts, joining us by phone. This is Stage and Studio. So Dime Roberts, are you there?
Yes, I am, Sarika. Thank you so much for doing this today.
Well, thank you for joining us by phone, and good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I really appreciate you taking the time to talk about Theater Diaspora.
It's my pleasure. Congratulations on the project, and we'll chat more on the company just in a bit. First, I want to talk about your play, Breaking Glass. Tell us a little bit about the history, because this is the 20th anniversary of this.
Well, you know, Theater Diaspora has been a year-long journey to get to where we are, actually a year-and-a-half-long journey to get to where we are. But there was another journey, and that was 20 years ago when I was writing several plays that had Asian American, Pacific Islander casts and content. And I was very much a theater artist, you know, working theater artist at that time. And I started writing plays because I didn't feel like there were, you know, there were very many opportunities. And I also wanted to tell my story, but then I branched out to tell other stories of other Asian Americans. And so Breaking Glass was actually my third play, I think, and was third professional production. And that was at Portland Repertory Theater. And it deals with my family story as the only interracial family. When I grew up in Junction City, Oregon, just right outside of Eugene, I had been born overseas and was raised in Japan till I was eight, and then we traveled around different areas, mostly city areas, and then we landed in Oregon when I was 10, and then we moved to Junction City, and it was the home of the Scandinavian Festival, and it still is, and we were very isolated. The town really didn't know what to do with us, and so it deals with the story of my fractured family, my mother, who is Taiwanese and was not able to have very much of a community, actually no community. It was at a time when we had to drive to Portland to get our bag of rice, our 50-pound bag of rice every month and a half or so, or 2 months, and any kind of vegetables and tofu that we could bring back. There was just virtually no Asian presence in the area, even in Eugene at the time. And so it deals with being isolated on a country, rural area, and it deals with just the racism that my brother had to deal with, who looked Chinese and was actually tormented throughout all of his high school, junior high and high school life, and really had an impact on the rest of his adulthood. So it deals with a lot of issues, isolation, racism, and just the aspects of a lot of people of color who live in rural areas and what they go through.
Right, and I just wanted to repeat something that your family was the only mixed-race family in your town when you were growing up. It's hard enough when you have a small community and you don't have much presence, but as the only family, that's difficult. There's no other way to say it.
Well, that happens with a lot of Asian-American families in general. There are, it rings true with a lot of folks who live, grew up in the Midwest or other parts of America where they were the only family. And so what is it like, when your family isn't as functional as it could be, how do you deal with that? So it deals with a lot of those larger themes. And I'm very pleased that, 20 years ago, it was a great production, and we also are bringing back Elaine Lowe, who originated the mom role, and she's fantastic in it. And then I really feel like we were able to get a cast that has a biracial actress that plays, my role, which is actually a first time for a production like this, and that means a lot to me. We also have a character who is sort of the love interest of the brother, and she is the character who has developmental disabilities, and we collaborated with FAME, which is an organization that has arts opportunities for adults with developmental disabilities, and have a wonderful actress, Zoe Anderson, who it's one of the missions of Theater Diaspora is that we have authentic casting, and so it just feels very authentic in this cast, and I'm very pleased with everybody that we're working with, Bruce Burkhartsmeyer, as well as Tonya Joan Miller, who is playing my character, and of course Samson, who you'll be talking with soon.
That's right, he's sitting to my left. I have to ask, what is it like to see your a representation of your family story being played out, and especially with authentic characters?
Well, it used to be very difficult when I was in the midst of it for the first time. Now I look at it with a lot more objectivity, and I look at it as a play and the structure of it and as a director, as opposed to this is my family story. And it has been a bit odd, and for me it's like saying goodbye to this piece in many ways. When you're in the midst of telling personal stories and it's fresh and new, there are a lot of emotions involved in it, and I don't feel like there is that as much as a sense of remembrance and a love for this piece that has come back to life, for this brief moment in time. So I actually am. I've gone sort of up and down journey of remembering why I wrote this, and the difficulties that I had with my family and my mom at the time, And then, and also looking back as a memorial that, yeah, that was one moment of time, and I have come so far since then, and I really love that retrospection, and I really feel like, you know, this is my opportunity to say goodbye to it, and to those mixed feelings that I had back then.
Is that the reason you chose to produce this now, or was it to do with the 20th anniversary? Why now? Especially, this is pretty soon, or during the production of the film version of May May, also based on your mother.
It actually is a prequel to May May. It was the early life before, you know, before I took the journey with my mom to Taiwan to produce May May, A Daughter's Song, and to bringing back the film. When the older you get, the more you think about your legacy and what you want to leave behind, you know. And so I feel like this is one chapter of my life, especially in the 90s with Portland Theater at the time, which was very multicultural from my perspective. And there were a lot more plays being done that were of especially for Asian Americans, there seemed to be a lot more plays and more opportunities with the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, and several of the professional theaters were doing more Asian plays. It was not unheard of to have one Asian play per season in many of the theaters. And that was something that I felt like I left behind when I was producing Crossing East, the Asian American history series. So when I started emerging back and looking back at theater and talking with Samson, and who you'll be talking to soon, and Heath, Heath Houghton. It seemed like there needed to be something to come back that we had lost in the 90s and the early 2000s. And I'm hoping that Theater Diaspora is creating that awareness.
Great. I know you have to hit the road, but is there anything else you wanted to add before we say goodbye?
Well, I do hope people come to see it, because I really believe this will be the last. This will be the last life for Breaking Glass, you know, unless somebody takes up the mantle elsewhere and wants to do it. I think that this will be the only opportunity. And I really want to thank the members of Theater Diaspora for bringing it up as an option for the season. I wasn't planning to do this play. And I really have to say that I'm very proud of the ensemble for giving me this opportunity.
Wonderful. Well, anyways, Dime, I know you have to hit the road, so thank you so much for taking the time to chat
with us.
Well,
thank you again. I'll be listening as I'm driving to Mount Hood Community College to teach my radio class. So thank you all.
Thanks, Dime.
Take care.
You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm guest host Sarika Mehta, sitting in for Dime Roberts. If you missed any of this show, you can hear it again on stageandstudio.org. And we're celebrating Asian Pacific American Heritage Month. I was just talking to Dime Roberts, who hosts this show and is one of the minds behind Theater Diaspora, the topic of our conversation today. Theater Diaspora is the first ever Asian American Pacific Islander theater company in Portland. And they're featuring readings of Breaking Glass, which will be May 9th at the Artist Repertory Theater, or May 17th at Portland Center Stage. But we're also giving away a free pair of tickets to the first person who emails theaterdiaspora@gmail.com. So let's turn now to the party I'm hosting in studio. We have Larry Toda, who is a board member of Media Rights Productions and an ensemble member. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
We have Winnie Hu, who is a grant editor of Theater Diaspora. She's also an ensemble member and a local actor. Hello, Winnie.
Hello.
And finally, we have Samson Siharath, who is an actor in Portland and an ensemble member. And as you might have heard, he is playing the character who is based on Dime's brother. Good morning, Samson.
Hi, thanks for having us.
And welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for crowding in our studio today. So I want to first start with Samson and talk a little bit about your acting background and how it ties in with Theater Diaspora.
Sure. I first started acting in high school. I grew up in Arkansas, and I ended up moving to Portland to study acting at the Portland Actors Conservatory. And as I started acting more around town, I found many opportunities, and after doing a show at Shaking the Tree, I found Dime Roberts, and we had discussed the theater scene and our representation of Asian American Pacific Islander artists, and we noticed that there wasn't much opportunity. And as we continued discussing, we decided that it was time for a change.
And when did that happen again?
That was last year. Portland Center Stage was doing a production of Chinglish by David Henry Hwang. And we had talked to Kelsey Tyler at Portland Center Stage. And we just want to thank him for the opportunity to do the stage reading of Dance in the Railroad. And after that, it was a great success. We had lots of people show up and support us. And so we decided to continue doing stage readings, and now here we are today.
Excellent. And for Breaking Glass, talk about your character and how it feels to play someone who is based on Dime's brother.
It's an amazing experience because the story is just so, it's still relevant today. Playing Jimmy, growing up in Arkansas, I was bullied as a child, and Jimmy gets bullied and dealing with the clashing cultures is a big deal. And I think being able to represent a group that is bullied and being able to get through it is important for people to see.
Absolutely. And thank you for sharing that. I also want to turn now to Winnie. Because you have acting experience, you're an actor, and you also can talk about some of the audience statistics on attending these kind of shows. But I wanted to talk a little bit about what Samson was saying with bullying, and you had mentioned power when we were talking before the show started. Talk about the importance of authentic casting as you feel about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say that authenticity in casting is important because it's a matter of who is controlling the portrayal, image, and conversation about members of a particular group. The issue of yellow face, caricatures, ethnic caricatures, stereotyping, it still is very much a part of the national discussion. And an important issue is, are Asian Americans being represented on our own terms?
Absolutely. I mean, Samson was just talking about the importance of portraying these characters after these experiences you had. And if these characters are portrayed inauthentically,
it perpetuates the image that other people have come up with.
Exactly. And also, Dime had mentioned that the love interest of your character, Samson, is somebody with developmental disabilities, and they even found an actor to portray this authentically, which is rare. It's rare that it happens. It's usually an able-bodied person who is portraying a disability, at least in the movies when they win Oscars.
And it's a beautiful process because you are dealing with it in rehearsal, and you learn so much. A lot of it is learning and being represented and not putting something out there that isn't real.
Absolutely. And Winnie, back to you. You have some numbers or at least some information that you can share with us that talks about why this theater is important as far as audience members attending and their experiences.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are over 200 theater companies in Portland, Oregon. And Theater Diaspora is the only one that is dedicated to Asian American content. It's important to note that there is actually a pretty large untapped audience in Portland because in 2012, the U.S. Census Bureau said that AAPI communities are the fastest growing race or ethnic group in the nation. And in Portland, according to the 2010 census, 7.1% of Portland's population identified themselves as Asian.
Wow. And this is the first ever Asian American Pacific Islander theater company in Portland. I'm going to keep repeating that as we go along today. Larry, you're on the board of Media Rights, and Theater Diaspora is a project of Media Rights. Talk about your experience in this genesis.
I came with this group because a year ago, actually in May, Dime tapped several of us to be part of a show called Breaking the Silence, and a wonderful play about the Japanese internment experience with real people, including Minoru Yasui, you know, who was actually a civil rights activist during that time. He's very well known. In fact, there's another play, which we'll talk about later, that we'll be involved with. But it brought all of us together. And for me personally, being an American of Japanese descent, my father being interned, for me it was very personal. And it really, really made me appreciate, you know, being an Asian American. Growing up, my parents didn't talk a whole lot about the Asian experience. We tried to assimilate in a white neighborhood. So again, I was accepted because I grew up in a small suburb, and there were like three or four other Asian American families. So I felt like I blended. But going out into the real world, like I went to University of Oregon where there was diversity, I realized that people had, as Winnie was saying, preconceived notions. I was called a Jap and all these other things by people in the suburbs. And I thought, what's with that? So for me personally, being invited into the play and then creating Theater Diaspora has been a really wonderful experience. We really do want to take away all of the stereotypes. And with media rights, I'm very proud to be part of that organization because our mission is to continually find artistic opportunities of creating better awareness and celebrating the fact that we come in different colors. We have a wonderful and diverse world, and we need to celebrate that. We do have several plays that we want to produce, and one thing that we're seeking is additional funding from the public. So again, if you want to go to our website and make a donation, we would love you for that.
And that website is theaterdiaspora.org, and it's theater with an R-E. So, and definitely check out the website and learn more about this really incredible project. And right now it's a project, and the aim is to turn it into, as I understand it today, to turn it into a nonprofit organization.
It is a nonprofit organization, and we're very pleased by the support we're getting from Artists Rep Theater and also PCS.
Great. Samson, were you going to say something? No, I just misunderstood a gesture. Yep. What I understand is that there were four shows that were staged last year, with stage readings last year, and then Theater Diaspora kind of became itself amongst one of those shows. Talk about the shows you had last year and the audience reception.
We had great reception. The public, after each performance, we do have a talk back and we speak with the audience and they ask questions, we ask questions, and the communication and information that is shared is heartwarming. Like after Breaking the Silence, we had people that whose parents and grandparents or who were there that were actually in.
Exactly. Yeah, they were sharing personal stories with us, so it was very emotional and very heartfelt. And for a lot of the audience members who were white, they were not aware of the situation. The situation of the Japanese internment was only experienced on the West Coast and not elsewhere. So it was a very educational, informative, and it brought a lot of people together. And I think that's that's the motivation behind what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. And to help learn about other cultures or our own.
Right. And I would like to add that we would like to continue having these audience talkbacks with our performances so that we can engage with our audience and get to know what it is that people receive from our performances and also how we can represent our audiences even better.
Absolutely. So I assume that for Breaking Glass, which will be May 9th and May 17th, there will be talkbacks after the stage reading productions.
Yes.
Fantastic. And do you remember any other audience comments that you want to share that are kind of unforgettable, or there are just so many that you can't remember?
Yeah,
right
there
now?
There's so many, especially during Breaking the Silence and the stories that people shared, just being able to hear the stories and have the stories that we told touch someone so close to their heart. It was beautiful.
In fact, with some of the upcoming shows we'd like to produce, we talk about a whole range of different themes. One that we're looking at involves African Americans and Japanese Americans. Mm-hmm. One that's upcoming is Citizen Min. As I mentioned earlier, Min Yasui, who went to the Supreme Court to fight for his rights of being an American, who was arrested. And this show is being planned for June 29th here in Portland. We'll have more details on the website as we get closer. But again, it's about the rights of being a born in America, person of Japanese descent. And he was arrested, and he fought this, and as a result, he became a national hero for all of us here.
Fantastic. So again, the Theater Diaspora is the first ever Asian American Pacific Islander theater company in Portland. Are there any such companies in other cities?
There's East West Players in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
There used to be one in Seattle, but they actually closed down pretty recently.
So this is really a huge effort. It's mm-hmm. that there needs to be much more of this. And
yes.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll see a lot more of this representation in years to come.
Speaking of representation, we do have upcoming shows that have people of all ethnic backgrounds, and we're constantly seeking other artists to work with. So if you are interested in working with us, please contact us through our email.
Excellent. And again, that is theaterdiaspora@gmail.com, where you can also, if you are the first person to email, you can also win a pair of free tickets to Breaking Glass. So we are just a little bit running out of time, but I wanted to ask, why is Theater Diaspora important to you specifically? So we'll start with Winnie.
Theater Diaspora is important to me because it is a way to represent Asian American stories and experiences on our own terms and to provide opportunities for Asian American artists to hone their craft.
And Larry?
And as Winnie said, it is a platform to really represent, as Winnie said, showing the Asian American experience for all audiences and in a very positive light. Even to this day, there are stereotypes, and it's important for us to break those.
Absolutely. Samson?
And to help represent and support Asian American Pacific Islander artists.
Wonderful. And thank you all for sharing. Is there anything else that we didn't talk about that you want to make sure we get in there in the last minute or two we have?
We would like to say thank you to the Regional Arts and Culture Council for providing funding.
Also to Sean Lee and Damaso Rodriguez at Artist Repertory Theater, and Kelsey Tyler and Paul Susie at Portland Center Stage.
Wonderful. Thank you to all of you and to everyone who's been supporting this awesome project so far. I've been talking to the brilliant minds behind Theater Diaspora's first ever Asian Pacific American theater company. So Samson, Larry, and Winnie, thank you all so much for hanging out with me this morning and getting cozy in our studio and talking about Theater Diaspora as we kick off Asian Pacific American Heritage Month.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Theater Diaspora is currently running a stage reading of D. May Roberts' play, Breaking Glass. You can catch these productions May 9th at 2 p.m. at the Artist Repertory Theater, or May 17th, also at 2 p.m. at Portland Center Stage. You can support the theater by buying $5 or $10 tickets, or you can learn more about their website at theaterdiaspora.org. That's theater R-E. And if you are the first person to email theaterdiaspora@gmail.com, you can maybe win a pair of free tickets to Breaking Glass. And that's it for Stage and Studio. Thanks to KBOO engineer Janet Anderson. If you missed any of this show, visit kboo.fm/stageandstudio. You can also download shows at iTunes. And don't forget to like us on facebook.com/stage_studio. Or tweet us at @StageNStudio. The music you are hearing is by Kiran Ahluwalia from her newest album, Sanata Stillness. I'm Sarika Mehta. Thanks for listening.
Don't go away. Art Focus is coming up with host Joseph Galavan after an announcement.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the third annual Surf Riders Soiree, Thursday, May 7th at the Holocene in Portland. The fundraiser will include an art show, silent auction, raffle, DJ, and screening of two surf films, North of the Sun and The Fortune Wild. Proceeds will benefit the Portland chapter of Surf Riders Clean Water Campaign. Again, that's the third annual Surf Riders Soiree, Thursday, May 7th, 6 to 11 p.m. at the Holocene. 1001 Southeast Morrison in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I'm Joseph Galavan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Radio, Portland. My guest this week is Bonnie Lang Malcolmson. She is the Arlene and Harold Schnitzer Curator of Northwest Art at the Portland Art Museum, and she's come in to talk about Betty LaDuc, Oregon Harvest. Thanks for coming into KBOO.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
This show is in the, it's under the banner Apex, and it's on the fourth floor of the Hoffman Wing. You go in, and it's almost like there's a little room created for it, but there are pieces on the outside. They're mainly plywood board that's been routed, that's cut into, and they have fairly brightly colored acrylic paint. And the theme is Oregon Harvest. It's workers in the fields, the pear orchards,